You're listening to the Assistance Together podcast. Two years ago this month, I launched the podcast. I had no idea how it would go, and many people that I told about it thought it was a pretty strange thing to do. But the thing is, I was connecting and having conversations with people around the world about their experience during the pandemic, and I wanted to share those conversations with you. We were going through a uniquely shared experience during that first lockdown, and our community was really coming together. Fast forward 2 years later, and we're now bringing you a live episode at the PA Show in London on Tuesday, the 8th of March at the Excel Centre. And I feel like this is going to be a really special moment because it's not only our 2 year anniversary, but to be able to do this in real life is just incredibly special. I'm really thrilled to be interviewing Paula Harding, who is an executive assistant and advocate. And she has a very interesting story about her life and career to share with us. Paula made a decision 6 years ago that would change the course of her career and open her up to so many exciting opportunities. We're going to be discussing this and so much more on the day. So if you are at the PA show, then please do come and say hello. I also want to take this opportunity to say thank you to all of you for your support and enthusiasm that you've shared for the podcast, for sharing it with your friends, for getting in touch with us, and for rating and reviewing it. We're so happy to hear from you and thrilled that some of the conversations I've had with so many talented EAs and PAs, advocates and industry leaders have had any impact on your career. What an honour and a huge privilege, and I don't take it for granted. Thank you so, so much. If you haven't booked for the PA show, but you want to, you can use our unique code, which is PA2272. That's PA2272 at checkout to receive a 10% discount. If you go to the show notes, the information is there for you to sign up. Right, on with this week's show. This week, I'm welcoming Ruth Kyler, a productivity and wellbeing strategist and the founder of Hoxton Hyde. During Ruth's career as a senior EA and project manager, she lived in London and worked in the city. And after years of not prioritising her health, Ruth knew she had to make a big change. I absolutely love the fact that Ruth decided to take such a bold step in prioritising herself, and she shares exactly how she decided to do that. She launched Hoxton Hyde because she wanted to help EAs and PAs to become highly productive and strategic business partners by increasing their productivity, but also by helping them focus on their well-being. I love Ruth's approach to her work, and I'm so pleased to be able to share our conversation with you today.
I, like a lot of assistants, fell into the profession. I originally graduated university with a business management degree and went into hospitality, but I only stayed in the industry for about a year before I went travelling in Europe and came back and lived in London for a while and decided to shift industries, and I wanted to try administrative work. I didn't have any experience in that area, so I decided to work temporary roles, and so I engaged a recruitment consultant to help me with that, and I ended up doing temp work for about 6 months. That was in itself a very deliberate approach to it, because I'd only been in the UK for a while and I wanted to remain quite flexible in how I was living, so I could, you know, take pause on a week and go traveling and have that flexibility to be able to pick up work as and when. And I'm obviously very aware that the temp industry here in Australia is very different to what it is in the UK, but it certainly served me very well in being able to explore the industry and very rapidly progress my career. So I think I started at a switchboard level, and quickly moved up, and within 6 months went in as an EA to CEO role for an accounting consultancy global network. So I was very grateful for that time that I spent within the temping world, because it really gave me insight very quickly into different industries, working for different people, different executives, and the difference in work as well. Although very much the executive assistant work is very similar, but the different roles within the professional administrative space as well. So I then started the executive assistant role to the CEO, which I stayed in that role for about, or that without an organisation, for about 6 years. The last 6 years of that role, I was promoted to a relationship management role. So very early on in my career, I kind of went along with what was in front of me in terms of opportunity, and I found, as with many assistants, the role very challenging. Like every day was different, and I was constantly learning something new. And in that particular role, I was also traveling internationally with my executive very frequently. So I had a lot of many amazing opportunities to see amazing parts of the world. And so yeah, there was. I grew very quickly in that role in terms of learning the ropes, but it was also very challenging, very stressful.
Yeah.
In that role as well, because being new to the industry, I didn't know really what I'd got myself in for. So I said yes to everything. I didn't know how to say no. So I worked very hard and I made a lot of mistakes, but I also learned a lot as well very quickly in that role. I then, so I took the management role within that organisation, and then that was about 2 years, and then moved back to Australia. And it was then that I moved into some more temping work when I got back to Australia. So I recognised very quickly that the industry temping work in Australia is very different to obviously the UK. But I'd say that for about 3 months until I was went into General Electric on a temporary role. I was offered a full-time role within 3 months. And that's where I stayed for another 6 years in General Electric. So it was at 2018. That I was made redundant from my role in General Electric, and made a decision to, at the same time of 2018, I just finished maternity leave. I just had my first child. So I decided, instead of going back to GE, to start my own business.
Yeah, fantastic.
So I knew very early on within the executive assistant role that I loved the role and the industry very much. And I was constantly thinking, you know, well, what do I want to do next? I wanted to do something else, but I didn't know what that looked like. And I just knew that I loved knowing the higher level business operations and the crux and the high level discussions and topics, and having access to those high level conversations in terms of how the business is operating. And so when I was thinking about, well, maybe I could go into an HR role or maybe a communications role, very traditional kind of moves for executives in today's society. And I always came back to, well, I really struggle with not having exposure to those higher level conversations and what's going on in the business. I just felt that I would be frustrated in not knowing what was going on. So I found myself not drawn to those areas, all those areas of traditional development. So this is what led me, obviously, to start my own business.
It's so interesting when you talk about that. There's the, I suppose, when you're in roles that you have such a big understanding of what the overall goal is of the business, how things are operationally working, functioning, and the the overall sort of crux of how things are going to move forward, it must be difficult to kind of not have an understanding of that when you're used to that senior leadership team and working with them. What I'm interested in, though, also, that you mentioned that you said yes to everything at a certain point in your career. I can relate 100% to this. I didn't think you could really say no to anything at work. I was like, if that's what you were told to do or was expected of you, then you would do it. When did you kind of start to, I'm curious as to when you started to kind of understand the parameters of your own work experience more and when you could kind of push back? Because in roles where assistant roles or even in my own career, that you're doing a service role and therefore there's an expectation of you. When did you start to kind of understand the difference for you?
It's quite interesting because, yes, I mean, as I said, when I first started my career at Australian University, I was in hospitality. So naturally the to serve element was very much there already. So I guess, yes, it was a very much, the word yes was came very naturally. For me, in terms of change, when it kind of, I changed my way of working and how I approached my work, was towards the end of my time in the UK. So my role in the organisation in the UK, I definitely burnt out. I was exhausted in my role. I kept on getting sick. Like, you know, I'd get sick and then be well for about a week, and so I'm going to get sick again. So my immune system was right down. And I was really tired and exhausted. I just come back home from work and want to go to sleep. So I knew that I wasn't looking after myself health-wise, and I was just, my working days were so long. And with traveling as well, with work, I was over-committing in terms of the personal time, sorry, the work time to the personal time. So it kind of came to a head after I hit that kind of burnout spot. And I realised that something had to change. And I ended up enrolling myself in, or registering for myself for a marathon, the Paris Marathon. And the site, I had never been a runner before, and just committing to something big, and which forced me to spend time outside of work training, and you have to commit a lot of time training. So it was a really good excuse for me to say, I need to leave work now, I have to go and train. And my boss was really interested and she was very supportive. So it was a natural kind of progression and really great transition, because she appreciated what I valued outside of office hours and what was important to me. It's just this natural dialogue that occurred because I shared this challenge that I was taking on. And it was through that process that I realised it just naturally evolved. I started saying no, yes, through different yes to certain things and no to different things in my work. It was a very slow progression because I didn't know how to. No one taught me how to say no to work. So, it happened very much at the same time as this, shall I say, health focus that I did. And having that external personal time focus or hobby, or exercise as this was for me, that allowed me to have to create that space and say, actually, no, I need to go and try and do training, I need to go and do run training, or I need to do this. So that it happened without it kind of started before I even realized it was happening.
Understood. And did you ever have any training and development in your role? Because you said you started at Switchboard. I mean, like, that's a process then in a career progression that is often reliant on you learning and taking the sort of the reins of your own learning and development. Did anyone provide any for you?
Early on in my career, no. I want to say, and I tell this to people, one of the biggest regrets I had is the first 4 to 5 years of my executive assistant or professional admin career, I didn't invest time. I didn't invest at all time and money or anything in my development or in training. I didn't know what to do. I was going blind, really. Towards the end of the second half of my career, absolutely did a lot of, on the job training in terms of within my workplace and mentoring through other executives and working with other executives, but also training internally within the organisation and also externally as well.
What kind of things did you train? What kind of training was it? Was it specific in terms of skills? Was it, you know, I'm kind of curious as to just
what I have done. My goodness. To be honest, in the early part of my career, I backed myself. And even if I didn't know something, I knew I had this faith in myself that I could do it, even if I didn't know it, or I could research or find out or talk to someone to learn how to do something. I have this inner confidence that I can do it or I can apply myself. So I've done a lot of that kind of approach in going, well, okay, yes, I think I can tackle that. I'll go for it within an organisation, whether it be a project or a promotion or asking for taking on different body of work that might not already have experience doing. But that's on the job training, but I've done all sorts of, you know, early in my career, did like Excel and PowerPoint training courses, kind of that, you know, what I would call informational items that have come out of training regarding tools that I've used on a day-to-day basis. But then I've done weekend and week-long courses. I've attended executive system conferences. I've done coaching. I've done being mentored. I've done basically everything in terms of what you can think of in terms of training, but it's all been quite considered. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't done an enormous amount of executive conferences. I certainly do a lot of speaking at them nowadays. Everything's been quite considered in the second half of my career, definitely. So my career spans about 14 years. So first half, really didn't apply myself in training, have massive regrets. But the second half, I made up for it, very much so.
What was the turning point for you then that you realised that you needed to alter your approach to your career development in terms of training?
I think it was knowing that I wanted to do something else, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
So I realized that I'm not going to know what that is unless I put myself out there and experience a few different things. And I realized that I just needed to follow my interest.
Yeah.
To not worry about what is said that I need to do, or people, you know, if everyone else is doing it, then I need to do it, but to follow my interest. And to, if I was in a business, which we're all working in businesses, the most natural thing to do is learn about a business around you to get, again, a better understanding. And it helps make our lives and work lives a lot easier. So a lot of my learning came organically through just, I forgot your question.
No, about the turning point, you know.
Turning point. So it was literally, I think for me, definitely, especially when I came back to Australia, is knowing that I wanted to do something different, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And I just needed to keep on exploring things and challenging myself. So, you know, I was quite interested in project management for a while, and that came through from my role as a relationship manager for the role I was in UK. And so I'm quite interested in that, learning more about that. So I did a project management course for university here in Sydney and did a lot of on-the-job work when I was working at GE on projects. very high level strategic projects for the CEO office. So I just took on things that were very interesting. And I was really interested in project management. I didn't know if I was going to kind of explore that further. But I was like, you know what, I think I want to do something different. Yes, project management is going to be always a part of it, but I wanted to do something different. So I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't have delved into it whilst I was in my workplace in terms of project management. So there's always, and I, whilst I was also working at GE, in my own time, I studied personal training, which has nothing to do with the executive assistant role. But I thought, you know what, I'm interested in it. Just not my own personal use and gain, not professional to earn money from it, but I'm interested in it. So just, I want to learn. So I've always had that approach about learning.
Yeah, curious.
And expanding my thinking.
Mm. It sounds like a really curious kind of person.
Yeah, I'm always listening to podcasts.
Yeah, learning, finding out.
Yeah.
I understand. And do you think, you know, that continuous sort of asking yourself those questions about what's important to you and about your career, when you then started your own business, I imagine that lent itself very naturally to kind of understanding what you were going to do and how you were going to formulate that for people and what was really important to you about what you were offering. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, through the whole process of having my own business, I mean, it's been a journey, definitely. And it's definitely just evolved over time, over the last couple of years since I left the corporate world. And it very much always started with my why, what was important to me. And it always came back to, I'm very passionate about health and wellness, and it's a big part of my life. But I always got drawn back to the executive assistant space, the professional admin space, and the value that I could help others with and give others within the space. So it's amazing how, by just listening to your purpose and your why, and what you're passionate about and where your interest lies, just staying true to that. And that's what I guess led me to my business and my what I do in my business. So it was very much a process of thinking about what's truly meaningful, what makes my heart sing, I guess.
And in terms of, you know, I think it's interesting that when you're talking about training, I think there's sometimes a disconnect between what is available and what can be useful to people. And some people are very, very invested in training and development, and they have this natural curiosity which pushes them through. And others, I think, have kind of maybe a more structured approach to learning and development. Do you think there are different types of training that's available that are useful to people?
Yeah. So I talk about this with all my clients, potential clients, about in training and development, there's two areas, in my opinion. And that is, they come into, should I say, two different categories. Information and transformation. So, and they both play an integral part in your development. And they're both fantastic. And I've just gone over before that I have applied various types of training and development in my own career and have used both sources and areas in my career. So I'll just go over them and I'll give you some examples. So information being, for example, you use OneNote or Excel in your role, and you use it quite considerably, it's a big part of your role, and you find that you are not as proficient in that tool as you would like to be. So maybe taking a course within that area is great, but there's also YouTube that is quite great in delivering those tools and giving you tips on how to operate those tools very effectively. That's a quick win in terms of information. You get the information and you can apply it. Okay, in terms of helping you perform small elements and tasks within your day-to-day job.
Yeah, fine-tuning.
There's also, sorry?
You mean sort of fine-tuning the skills that you've got?
Yeah, absolutely. So things like, also things like, you know, a one-day course or maybe a one-day workshop or a one-hour workshop or an executive system conference. That's a really good example as well. Fantastic. I love executive system conferences. They're great for networking, great for getting snippets of information and tricks and exposing yourself to new information that you might not have been aware of previously. Okay. And then the second one, and obviously under that as well, is podcasts and obviously different things, you know, books, what have you, that would be information. And the second one is transformation. So transformation is what I consider a long course, or program, or coaching. Wherefore you want to transform your approach to maybe how you work, maybe you're an administrative assistant right now and you want to progress to an executive assistant, or your executive assistant, you want to progress to executive business partner. You want to really move the needle in your role. You want to transform in your role. So that requires open dialogue from the teacher or a coach or a program coordinator, whoever that may be. But it requires, you know, feedback in how you're translating the information. It gives you the opportunity to ask questions, to maybe apply yourself to assignments or bodies of work so you can help practice your skills in a certain area. Because what we're coming down to with transformation, through transformation, you need to be able to develop and practice new skills.
Mm.
And skills, as frustrating as it would be, great if they could be honed in 1 hour, but they don't get honed or perfected within 1 hour. It takes, you know, many weeks and months sometimes to really fine-tune skills. So both areas, both information and transformation, play an integral part in our roles. You just need to apply, make sure you apply the right training or look at the right training for what you need. And I come across a lot of assistant clients, potential clients that they find that they don't know, as you said, they don't know what training to do.
Yeah.
And as a result, they go to an executive conference because they kind of feel like they're ticking the box somehow there, because they don't know. And I can totally relate to that because as I said previously, I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know what training to do. So my best advice in that area, if you don't know what to do in terms of your training development, is think of tomorrow. And that is, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You may be made redundant tomorrow. Your role may be made redundant. So think about the job market. I think a really good way is looking at CVs, looking at job descriptions in the market right now, having a look at what's in your business at the moment and how a business operates and understanding that better. The elements of the business that you could learn more about that may be of interest to you. I've definitely had very open conversations with my previous leaders about maybe areas I was interested in and what I was passionate about. For example, I'm a people person. I really love people. And I get nervous and it scares the pants off me, public speaking. But actually, once I start doing it, I love it. I really enjoy connecting with people. So I knew that was a part of what I was going to do next. So it's about listening to what you're really interested in and yeah, getting a sounding board, talking it over with colleagues or, you know, an executive that you trust, someone to be able to maybe brainstorm. And that's what I did actually. I actually brainstormed, got in a meeting room by myself and brainstormed ideas.
No, that's
like just went for it. Just any words on the board and kind of what I was interested in and what I did like, what I didn't like, to kind of So I didn't know where I was going to go next or what I was going to do. So I just started with what I enjoyed doing.
And do you see a kind of any trends from people that you're working with at the moment about things that are maybe stopping them from taking those steps forward, or that are creating any kind of roadblocks in their career maybe? Because that's something we've spoken about on the podcast a bit before, that it, because this the sort of path to success as an assistant isn't always straightforward, even the job titles are very wildly, and but I think that there's some commonality when it comes to things stop us from kind of moving forward. I wonder what your experience is with your clients.
I find a lot of, the most common one is time. Feeling that they don't have the time to be able to develop their role, that they feel that they're too busy in their role to be able to have the time. And that would be the main one. Another one is that they don't, because they don't know what they want to develop, how they want to develop themselves, they don't ask.
Yeah.
And they don't ask for training, development, investment, which I say we should always do, because the answer will always be a no if you don't ask.
Yeah.
So you need to ask for training, development. And most workplaces do want to support their staff with their training development. You just need to ask the question. So, yeah, I would say time and not asking for support with their training in training and development, should I say, asking that question.
And kind of, can you maybe, if we look at the time one, which I think is something that so many of us relate to, and so hear people, our friends, family, or ourselves say, well, I don't have time to do that. And, you know, I wonder kind of if you could maybe break it down for us about how we could change our perspective or how we could approach something like that if we feel that time is really the issue around being able to take the next steps in our career.
Yeah, look. So I have a group coaching program that focuses on these particular areas, and that is, I've identified after speaking with many clients, that there's four main areas that assistants repetitively have issues with.
Yeah.
In terms of finding that having extra time or feeling they feel overwhelmed with their workload, that they can't have any other time for themselves or have any time to develop. And those four areas are, first of all, clarity being the most important one of all four. And how that is having clarity on their role, understanding their goals and objectives for their role, the goals and objectives for their leader, and also the organisation. And that is not being able to rattle them off, but actually understand what they mean, and also how their role as an assistant plays into those. So having a really deep understanding of clarity of the role and the organisation. Because once we have clarity, that understanding flows through to everything else that we do on a day-to-day basis. Decisions we make, and understanding, interpretation of tasks that come our way, then we can decipher and make decisions more effectively with that knowledge behind us. So clarity being the first one, I help assistants really get clear on their role and obviously their executives' goals and objectives and the organisation. The second one being planning and organisation, planning their time effectively and managing their tasks and email management. That's a streamlined process, and they can operate with ease and less and no overwhelm, get overwhelmed with that task list, that to-do list. And also actively plan their time, plan their week, use their calendar, not just their executive's calendar, but plan their time in the calendar to actually do proactive work. Assign time, block time in the calendar, you know, from 9 to 9:30, check emails from 9:30 till 10, check all 10, check executive A or supporting many executives, you're checking their emails or responding. So really break down the amount, what you're doing each day, and give it assigned time, because if you have an assigned time in the calendar to do a certain task, you're more than likely to achieve it than you are if it wasn't in the calendar. So the third point, so the first one, obviously clarity, planning, and the third one being tools. So our technology is evolving at a very rapid rate, which is fantastic, and for the existing community, because there's increasing amount of tools on the market to be able to allow us to perform our roles with more ease and more order. So it's about making sure you keep current with your role, the technologies that are on the market that can help you, support you. That might mean looking at using automation to your role to help speed up certain processes. Yeah, so there's all sorts of elements of planning you need to look at that can help you really take out or manage your time a lot more efficiently within your role. And the last one is skills. And I mentioned that before about being able to have that time to practice skills over and over. And things like dealing with overwhelm and how to outsource and delegate tasks, how to say no and deal with an overwhelming workload, that feeling of overwhelm, how to deal with it and the process you can go through. So they're the four areas that I find that if assistants go through those and really hone and polish those areas, overwhelm is significantly minimized and allows assistants to plan time effectively. As I said, plan time effectively for their development. They know how to outsource their work or to have those conversations with their leader about what they can do with their workload when they are applying their time, maybe to a course or a certain conference they're going to, that they manage their time efficiently, that they can do those extracurricular development activities.
So once you kind of, I suppose, when you start to work on those areas, then it gives you a solid platform to be able to still sort of free up time to consider other options for yourself. And I think it sounds like if you've got that steady base and you've worked out how to kind of create the opportunity for yourself, then you can start to think about the different areas that might be of interest, or just give yourself the option to decide what's important longer term. But the overwhelm, I think, is potentially the hardest one, because that is also not just a practical response, but it's an emotional response. It's not, you know, we don't always get overwhelmed at the proportion that's relevant to the actual situation. The overwhelm is a cumulative kind of emotional reaction to either pressure or lack of time, or, you know, the kind of conflict at work sometimes between teams. And I feel like that part is the bit that can be the most difficult to kind of on your own create movement forward and be able to monitor yourself and look after yourself through that process. That I feel like is where have working with someone one-to-one could be really beneficial, because it's hard to pull yourself back from that moment once you're there without someone helping you, maybe, you know, on a different level, just to get some more stability.
Yeah, look, overwhelm, I mean, I think everyone's always going to suffer overwhelm at some stage. It's just learning simple tools and techniques to be how to deal with it, and how to force yourself to stand back from that situation, and as you said, kind of remove emotion and look at it critically and apply critical thinking to whatever is in front of you. Is it's a difficult skill. Over the years, I've learned how to deal with it. But yeah, I definitely still suffer with overwhelm, like anyone does. And I think that comes with when you all of a sudden just got an enormous amount of work. Sometimes you don't really know expecting it. But it's about how to learn how to deal with it and the tools and kind of take steps to be able to process it. It takes practice and people need to, my thing is I said to people, be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. And assistants have enormous roles these days, especially the last 2 years, 18 months to the pandemic. There's a lot more weight on their shoulders. Teams have thinned out, and so there's a lot more responsibility in place on a lot of assistants. So first of all, just acknowledge how much you have taken on and achieved in the past year. You know, be kind to yourself. And with overwhelm, just know that there's certain tools and techniques that you can go through that will help you stand back, which is my first and foremost always say to people, stand back and assess the situation, move away from where you are sitting. That's the first and foremost approach. And that is when you stand back from a situation, from a computer screen, which is causing you stress, walk away from the stress. Sit away from it, because the stressor, which is computer emails inundating you, you know, people coming to your desk, step away, go for a walk. And you'll feel your blood pressure lower slightly. And by moving your body, circulating the blood through your bloodstream, should I say, that will help subside some of that stress and overwhelm. And I say to people, after you have gone for a walk, quick walk, come back to your desk and get out a piece of paper and just do a brain dump. Brain dump, such a simple basic trick, but just get it out there. And one of the best strategies I have used, my clients use, is that talk about what you have to do, your to-do list or whatever you've been asked to, or what the overwhelm is, with somebody else who is removed, their emotion is removed. So they are able to help you critically analyze what you have in front of you. And very often through that process, the person who is overwhelmed goes, actually, I don't need to do that right now. I can leave that, or I don't need to apply myself to that, or we can pause on that. So it's actually through that process you can really help yourself to work through it.
Yeah. Such good advice. Thank you so much. It's been so interesting to speak with you. It's very practical and kind of reassuring to know that you have such a clear perspective on how to do these things. I feel like, you know, there's a lot of push in our community to continue to evolve, to continue to get better, and that has to come from some kind of external training. Sometimes that is about refining what you already know. And I feel like that's what I really appreciate about your approach. It's about looking at what really is important for you, not what someone else is saying is important as training and development, but what feels right for you, whether it's just a skill that you can, you know, get marginally and incrementally better at over a period of time. Maybe it's using spreadsheets, but also that there's sort of self-management in that, and being able to have a really good understanding of yourself in order to be able to then kind of put the things in place that you need to, that gives you a really good platform to springboard into other parts of your career. I feel like that's such a clear and kind of cohesive way of looking at training, development, but just approaching your career as a whole. Really exciting. Thank you so much.
No, you're welcome. No problem. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. You can find out information about how to get in touch with Ruth in the show notes. And if you could take a moment to rate and review the podcast, I would be so grateful. Apparently, it helps other people find us. I'm really looking forward to seeing some of you at the PA show next week on Tuesday, the 8th of March, if you're in London. I really want to be able to say hello to as many of you as possible. So if you are there, please do come and say hi. And we'll be back next week with another fantastic guest. Take care.